You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Well, welcome in MLB.com Extras, the Chicago Cubs edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Kerry Muscat. And, Kerry, with the Cubs, I kind of feel like there is no typical. There is, you know, everything is unusual, it seems like, day by day. And yet, I'll open the conversation by saying, what a weekend!
it's never a dull moment at Wrigley. So, Phillies came into town last place. Friday, Jason Mott uncharacteristically blows his first save of the season. Then Saturday, Cole Hamels looks like Cole Hamels from 2008 when he was MVP World Series and throws a no-hitter. And then Sunday, the Cubs' bats, somehow they forgot him. So the Phillies left town with a sweep, and the Cubs are trying to reassess where they're at.
Yeah, and those are so frustrating because you see teams on the schedule, and I say this all the time, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. Right. And the Phillies have been
right. And the Phillies were yeah. The Phillies were hot coming out of the break. Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. You know, it's just like you just picked the wrong time to get him. But Cole Hamels, what was the buzz in the press box as this was going on? People had to be stunned.
Well, I don't know. Stunned. It's just what most of the players told me is that they had looked at video of his previous two starts, and he didn't have the velocity that he had Saturday at Wrigley. He didn't have the changeup wasn't as sharp that he showed on Saturday at Wrigley. And it was just kind of a surprise. Like I say, it was vintage Hamels. And I know that they were prepared, but I don't think they were quite prepared for what he did. And it's really an impressive outing. I don't think there were about 41,000 people there at Wrigley, and I don't think anybody left, just kind of waiting to see what would happen. And it's nice, you can appreciate history. And considering that this is the first time, there's a guy on Twitter, his handle is Cubs No Hit Streak, and he would document every day when the Cubs player had a hit. And I feel bad for the guy because now that's over. And the Cubs had a major league record for not being no hit. They'd gone 7,920 games, which is unbelievable. This guy obviously wasn't doing Twitter at the very beginning of those 7,000 games. it was just to watch his timeline and how he was reacting to this because. Usually there's a little playful exchange, between him and some of us, as we're waiting for that first hit if it goes deep into a game. But this time there was just nothing. And he wasn't on the day after Hamels' no-hitter, Kyle Schwarber got the first hit in the first inning, and he picked it up again, saying that that the streak is now alive again. So we'll see how long it goes. But it was just a fun game. It's fun to see history.
Yeah, and there were, in games like that, sometimes there are great plays or interesting plays, and certainly, of course, at Wrigley, it seems like with the conditions, oftentimes you get wild outfield plays, but, that catch in center field on the warning track, everybody's heart kind of leaps up into their throat. Yeah. Amazing, just kind of amazing.
Well, Cubs players were telling me that He got lucky on both of his catches. There was another ball that David Ross hit that he caught at the track, and Herrera got lucky on those catches because he seemed to be sort of out of position and not quite prepared for the wind at Wrigley, which was blowing in. Not super strong, but it was blowing in, so I think that threw him off. But it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was. It's very interesting, very fun to watch from a distance. I know Cubs fans don't enjoy those sorts of things. But, the streak, 7,920 games without being no-hit, some of that you might want to chalk up to Wrigley Field, although I don't know that that's fair either, that you can really do that. And plus, you're playing on the road for the rest of those. It's a weird record, though, right? Don't you find that to be kind of a strange record, because what? how do you account for that? That's got to be luck.
Yeah, a lot of it's luck. I'm sure Cole Hamels would tell you that it was luck, you know, that the way things happened on Saturday. Plus, here he's dealing with all of this background noise because his name has been mentioned very heavily as far as being traded. You know, and somehow the fact that he was able to put that out of his head and just focus on the game and focus on what he was doing, I give him a lot of credit. What's really kind of cool is that Carlos Ruiz, who was catching, that's his fourth no-hitter that he's caught. I mean, that's impressive. So, but it's always nice when you can, you know, when you have a little history moment and you're writing that this is the first time it's happened since Sandy Koufax threw a perfect game in 65. I mean, that's, you know, it's baseball history.
Yep. No, that's one of the great things about the game. Meanwhile, Kyle Schwarber has continued to be impressive. I know, you know, we're talking about the bats going a little bit quiet there this weekend, but Schwarber has really continued to swing the bat pretty well.
Yes, he has. And I'm sure that they used him quite a bit in Cincinnati. He obviously can hit in the state of Ohio. We've proved that. But what I find interesting is on the days that he's not catching, he's out there working really hard with Coach Mike Borzello in the bullpen, you know, on his positioning, on you know, handling pitches. I mean, he's really devoted to this. And for a young kid, I just haven't seen too many kids that are willing to put in that much time. He's willing to do it.
Yeah, pretty exciting, pretty special. Meanwhile, you know, we touched on this a little bit last week, I think, but with the trade deadline looming, it looks as if what was the line that the answers or solutions are from within. I saw the piece you wrote, you know, talking to Jed Hoyer. So it doesn't look like there's going to be much action for the Cubs.
Well, you never know. You know, I really believe. Well, here's how the Cubs, after losing the three games to the Phillies, the Cubs are now in third place in the wild card standings. The way I see it is after the way the 2014 season went, what they're doing right now has been just totally, I would say, unexpected for them to be contending at all. And I know that Joe Maddon has to say that they're aiming for the division, and I know that the players will say that. The reality is that if this team finishes with a winning record with relying on so many rookies the way that they are relying on, you know, with Chris Bryant and Anderson Russell and Schwarber and Jorge Soler, I mean, I think Cubs fans should realistically think, wow, this has been a really good another step in the building process, and let's look for 2016. Now, Cubs fans don't want to hear that. I can hear them booing me already. But that's the realistic way to look at this, you know. And so when they're making a possible trade, they have to be thinking. They're not thinking necessarily just this year. They're thinking next year. And so that's if they do anything, try and keep that in mind, that they're looking ahead, and they're really trying to do what's best for the team looking ahead. And I think that will. You know, they could find another arm for the bullpen, but I'm not sure. I just don't know what the plan is. They do have some guys in the system, not great, but guys that can contribute. But I really think they're looking ahead.
Yeah, I got it.
I hear the boos. I know. I can tell.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it'd be one thing if you're third place in a division where everybody's sort of mediocre. If you're third place in a division where the top two teams are the top teams in the entire league, and I just feel like that has to be a consideration.
Well, I just look at the Giants. I mean, the Giants the Giants have won five in a row. And you look at the Giants, you look at their experience, you look at their pitching, you look at Bruce Bochy at the helm. I mean, that's a really good team. And my crack research people at MLB.com discovered that there's been no team that's made the postseason with three rookies who've played in 100 games that season.
Huh.
So if you think about that, the Cubs are relying. I'm not sure if Soler's going to get to those 100 games because he was out with the injury. But you think about that, it's very rare. How they're counting on these kids, and the kids right now in July have been struggling a little bit. So let's just see how this plays out. I'm still looking at this as a development year. Again, I know people don't want to hear that, but it's a development slash contending slash, you know, we're almost there year, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that is a fantastically interesting stat I've never heard before, but I think it's...
Well, give the people in New York credit. They looked it up, not me.
Yeah, the fact that anybody can find that is kind of cool. Yeah. All right, Carrie, great stuff. Always appreciate it. Enjoy whatever it happens to be next.
Everything next. I know, we never know. Yeah.
Never do. Yeah, and there she goes, Carrie Muscat, MLB.com Extras, the Chicago Cubs edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.